is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This afternoon, a conversation with Steve Rehnquist of the Oregon State University Extension Service. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
You picked the post time after a blustery night last night, which both of us fairly slept through.
Oh, yeah. I snoozed right through. Didn't even know it happened.
And for a lot of folks, it's cleanup time today if they had Halloween decorations out, which in some cases ended up in the yard next door. I've heard about that today and seen some of the other damage from people's chairs outside that went all over the place and a big mess. But aside from the storm last night, it sounds like it's really kind of a cleanup time for gardeners.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the time of the year that people need to get out into the yard. Don't say, oh, the crop season is over and I'm just going to let things go. You want to actually get out and clean up your vegetable garden and get a little cover crop on there to protect the soil. We're apparently going to have quite the rainy period coming at us here over the week or late week and maybe into the weekend. And so it's really helpful to soil to have plants growing there, but you don't want the old decomposing plants as much as you want the new vigorous plants. And why? Well, all of that cover crop material will be holding nutrients that were still in the soil and not letting them leach out. And so you don't have that risk of having maybe nitrates risking down and or rinsing down and leaching down into the subsoil. So it's a real timely activity to get that cover crop on.
So how do you define cover crop?
Well, the cover crop is anything that is growing that after the main crop, and it also you want something that has got a pre-mix of different types of plants. So it'll usually have a legume that is like a clover of some sort, and then you'll have a cereal grain, you know, like triticale or wheat or rye, and often then you'll want to have something that is maybe really deep rooted, you know, so like alfalfa or something along that line, and the combination of those plants, you know, just creates a huge root system, a massive root system, and it recharges the soil with the nitrogen come springtime, and it just keeps any nutrients that are there from leaching. So those cover crops are plants that are very specifically have been researched and selected over the years, and you can go buy at any ag store, you know, Coastal, Co-op, whatever. You go to the ag stores and you can see a pre-mixed bag of seed there, and then they'll call that the cover crop seed. And so it's really easy. Then all you do is just scatter that seed kind of uniformly over.
So when the spring comes, do you just pull all that out?
No. When the spring comes, then the best way to deal with it is, depending on the time of the year that you want to plant anything, you can just take your weed whacker out there and just weed whack the growth down, because a lot of times it'll be several feet tall. And weed whack it down, and then if it gets low enough, you can take your mower and just shred it a little more. Then when you want to plant, depending on whether you like to rototill or not, I'm to the point where if I rototill, I just do it very lightly, and just so that I've got enough soil to be able to reseed things into or plant new plants in the next year. So that it's a real easy process. It really isn't that much work.
Now, you mentioned that sometimes it can get several feet tall, so that probably works more in a backyard than maybe visually what you'd want in your front yard.
Well, maybe so. But so if you have flower beds or nice shrubbery and so on, the best thing for that come fall is to don't throw all those leaves in the street. just if you have a shredder, chop them up. If you don't have a shredder, that's still fine. Run over them with your mower or anything and rake them into the areas that are soil around the shrubs and around your trees. If you have grass growing, you know, in that particular area around your trees, you don't want to throw a bunch of leaf mulch over the top of it, because that will hurt the lawn and suppress the growth there and probably cause some damage.
And sometimes people, if they don't live in an area that maybe, like the city of Roseburg, picks up leaves that are out in the street, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get rid of them, a lot of times people do what I used to do when I was young, rake them all and put them in a plastic bag.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you put them in a plastic bag and take them out to the landfill, you know, they really can't decompose very well. And so the plastic's going to last for years out there, unless maybe the loader out there runs over it and breaks the plastic. But in general, it's much better to take them in around and put them around your trees, and it'll amaze most people. They'll decompose, really, especially if you run over them with the lawnmower. Those leaves will really decompose by about the middle of June, you know, the following year.
So we've gotten down to the upper 30s at night, at least in town, maybe a little cooler in some of the rural areas. Mm-hmm. What about people with sprinkler systems?
Yeah, well, that's always an issue. If you have a nice sprinkler system in your landscape, you know, it is you don't have to drain them per se, especially if they're buried down underground a little bit. Around here, we don't get those hard freezes. But if you have a stand pipe, any kind of pipe coming up, it's really a good practice to cap those in the wintertime. So, you know, back off the sprinkler faucet itself and the stand pipe, you know, take them out with your wrench and put a cap down in there in the system. Usually those have a valve underneath the ground. You want to shut the valve. If you have a way of draining the system, that's great. But if it's underground, you really don't need to drain out the system.
And, of course, a lot of people find this out the hard way. When those freezes come, and they will at some point, a lot of times people are caught off guard. If they don't happen to hear the weather on the radio, they don't realize it's coming, and then they wake up to find a broken pipe or issues.
Yeah. You know, and most of the time people won't even know that the pipes have broken until they try to rig everything up in the springtime. But if you have a broken pipe there, if it does freeze and so on, it isn't a major issue. You just make sure you shut your valve off underground and back that piece of pipe off, and you might have to do a little repair with the plastic pipe, you know, and re-glue things.
So for people that maybe do, you know, apples, pears, things like that, that are maybe still going to some extent mm-hmm. by this point, how do you treat those?
Yeah. Well, any of the late yielding apple varieties especially, I think most of the pears are pretty well done by now. But the apple varieties, I've got a couple in my yard, one Spitzenberg, another Braeburn, and they're both pretty late apples, especially the Braeburn. It'll go another month. If you have Granny Smith, it'll go probably another month before it's ripe. The thing you want to deal with those is just make sure you don't let them hang too long on the tree. Otherwise, they won't store very well. You're going to bring them in and you want to put them into some cold storage. You might not have a big storage, but you know, if you can fit a few boxes into a refrigerator, maybe in your garage, that would be great. And those apples then will persist for at least 2-3 months, you know, and so really extend the season for you. If you don't have any outdoor storage, maybe you have a shop or a barn that stays pretty cool in the wintertime. That would be great, too.
Now, we'll talk about some other things you ought to be doing, but I'm curious for the OSU Extension Service about anything you have coming up.
Yeah, you know, and I've got an ongoing Master Gardener program right now. I haven't done a fall program, but I'm going to be retiring at the end of this year. And so a lot of the the people have asked me to do one more program and get a few more volunteers into the program. And so that's going on right now. But the other thing that I wanted to say was the 4-H has a really nice program scheduled for Saturday, November 20th. And it'll be about 10 to 3:30. And they call it Gifts to Give Workshop, where the young people can come out and ages from about 7 to 19, and you come out and you can make, you know, crafts for Christmas gifts to people. And it costs $25 to participate, but looks like a real fun workshop that they've got signed up and for the 4-H.
So where's it going to be held at?
It'll be out at the exhibit hall, 4-H exhibit hall, which is just, the third building in on the left when you come through the main gate. And they'll have 4-H will have their leaders out there, and Lori will be out there from the 4-H, sure.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to be retiring. Didn't we hear that before?
Yeah, you have. Probably two or three times. The last couple of years have been kind of odd, you know, where I thought, well, I might as well keep working, you know, since I got to kind of hunker down anyway. And so in general, I think this one will be real.
All right, we'll see. More with Steve Ringquist when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It's Inside Douglas County at 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. And Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN and Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's program, another interview for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Melanie Prummer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. And a first-time guest to us. We'll tell you more about that later, but special program for Domestic Violence Awareness Month tomorrow. Steve Ringquist, who says he's going to retire, we'll see, from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Ian, what are some of the other things people should be keeping in mind now with their garden and related, activities?
Well, one of the things that we were talking about, recycling, you know, material. But if you don't really have a lot of material to recycle, or you don't have a, you know, any kind of a tiller or a shredder, get yourself, just buy a little mulch. And just spread some mulch around on any of the bare ground around. You know, after a hot, harsh summer, I noticed even walking around, a lot of the areas where I plant bulbs, the bulbs were actually showing. So I don't know. I think in general it was so dry that a lot of the top mulch material just decomposed or blew away or something. So I was out there trying to spread some compost and mulch over those areas. The other thing that I really think that's important to do is, this is the time of the year where you're going to head into the pruning season pretty soon, and you want to take all your tools in. And a lot of people don't think about this on a regular basis, but take them into your shop, you know, clean them up, you know, lubricate them, get some sharpening files out. And I just sharpened, for example, the blade on my mower, you know, in the past week, because I know this is the season where that lawn is really going. And so those are a couple other things that are really, you know, good practices to get out.
And people like me who just don't do anything mechanical, if you're not going to do any of that, you probably need to find somebody who can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are plenty of people around here that will sharpen tools and work with your lawnmowers and that sort of thing. The other thing that most people don't realize, that a lot of pruning can be done in the fall. If you grow any cane berries, any raspberry, blackberry, etc., you can get out and cut out those old. You'll notice how some of them are kind of dyed and brown. You just cut out those old canes and leave the green ones for the coming season. And with your fruit trees, several of the fruit trees really do better getting pruned in the fall, you know. So if you have plums and peaches and things like that, you can prune them really anytime once the leaves have fallen.
What about things that, even though we're in fall, things that you do plant this time of year? I understand some of that is going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. There are, you know, either you can have, especially if you have raised beds, you can plant some fall crops, you know, and get things. I planted a few weeks ago, I planted some carrots and a little lettuce, and it's all coming up, looking pretty good. And the other thing is you would want to be planting any seed crops that you're wanting to get. Well, we talked about cover crops already, but gosh, I'm trying to think of the garlic. Yeah, garlic is the crop that that most people like to plant in the fall. If you have a nice long season of garlic, that clove that you've planted will start to root and do really well all during the winter, and then really multiply once spring comes around and do great from that point on.
And people have heard Mike Winters in the past week or so talking about planting new trees.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great time of the year to plant, put in, bald and burlap, or even pretty soon you'll start seeing the marketplace will get the bare root trees. Those usually aren't dug until November. So maybe they won't hit the market till December or January, but fall and into early winter is a good time for bare root trees too.
So if you plant now, is there an advantage to planting trees now versus waiting until the beginning of spring?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you put the trees in now, and they'll sit there for a while. They won't show because a lot of them are dormant. They won't show their growth. But what's happening underground is that those root systems are getting established, and they're making some small amount of growth with the root system underground. And then as the soil warms in the spring, in the early spring, you know, even as early as late February or March around here, you know, those will then really take off. The root systems will really expand rapidly, and then you'll start seeing bud break, you know, toward the end of March. And rather than planting in, let's say you go out and you plant in late March or April, and then that tree is root system is just starting to try to get established, and then the heat comes, and so the heat then will really whack the tree and hurt the tree pretty seriously.
You mentioned pruning a little bit ago. It reminded me that I was told recently that I should probably be trimming back the large hydrangea that we have right in front of our picture window, because it's one that grows a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you get through the winter and then it starts budding out and you start the growth going, sometimes you can kind of stunt things if you wait too long.
That's right. Yeah, you wouldn't really want to wait that long. It ideally to do your pruning on any kind of a shrub. Pruning shrubs is a little bit more technical if you have a flowering shrub versus a shrub that's just a leaf and ornamental in its foliage. And so anything that is just a foliage producer without any showy flowers, etc., you can really prune any time during the winter. If you have a plant, let's say like a crabapple or any kind of a flowering shrub, if you go out and prune hard in the wintertime, what are you doing? Well, you're kind of cutting off future flowers. And so you can do that. It won't hurt the plant. It won't kill the plant. But you kind of lose your floral show. Now, the only one with hydrangea, like you mentioned, the hydrangeas usually, even after pruning, they will bloom later in the season if you've pruned it pretty heavily. Hydrangea is a plant that will handle pruning and then still produce nice flowers. Yeah, that's not an issue.
About a minute left. Other things people should remember this time of year?
Well, you know, for me, most the issue is what is done well. You know, this year, remember what you've been doing, what has done well, what hasn't done well. You know, write these things down. If you have a vegetable garden, get out there with a pad of paper and write down what were the vegetable varieties that really did well, what were those that you weren't very impressed with, you know, so you remember that next year you go out and you can get the right plants that are going to do well. A lot of varieties don't adapt to every climate and every growing season. This last year was a pretty hot one, you know, and so it really put a crimp on some plants, but I noticed, boy, heat-loving plants like tomatoes and peppers did great. So, you know, write those varieties down and know. And the same is really true with any kind of a flower, the annual flowers that you bought. If some just never did anything for you, well, cast them out, you know, and find something that looks really nice.
Do you think we had some long-term impacts or maybe short-term from that heat wave when we got up to 113?
We sure did. We've had some long-term impacts. I don't know if many of you have driven past the courthouse downtown, but the nice tree that they planted there, it looks like a sequoia, a year or two, year and a half ago, whenever they planted that, instead of putting a Christmas tree there, they put the live tree there. And unfortunately, we got hit by, you know, what, 116 or something, you know, this in June. And the top of that tree is all dying back. So it probably damaged some of the roots on that tree. So that's an issue with a lot of plants. So I'm sure go out and you might have to do a little pruning to get rid of some of that dead, or start over if your tree dies back.
People have questions for the OSU Extension Service. How do they connect?
Yeah, just give us a call at 541-672-4461.
All right, Steve Rehnquist, we'll check on you later and see if you really do retire.
Oh, okay.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.